Well, we've had two marriages ceremonies and two funerals in the last, well, it'll be in the last month. So I know Rodney shared a little bit in Sunday school. Be praying for the Smith family and Rocky Smith and Irene and, well, her family. Irene's with the Lord, so be in prayer for them. If you have not picked up your table talk, it is in the back on the back on the table. So please get it, and pick it up so you can have it as part of your quiet time in the morning. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Lord, thank you for this morning, the privilege that we have to gather around your word. Challenge us, all of us, Lord, no matter what stage we are in life. Lord, you know our hearts. Help us to be bold in the gospel and what we are discussing today, Lord, as you know, is a way for us to boldly confess what we believe, what is right and honorable. So help us this morning as we look at this that's so common, but in so many ways offensive to the world today and to friends and loved ones in our families and close to us. So, Lord, grant repentance today. Help us to stand up for what is right and to stand up and say the things that you say are right and good and honorable and against those things that you say are wrong, Lord. And do it with broken, humble hearts, but help us to stand up for that, for your word, for who you are, for what you have instituted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at marriage today, the role of marriage. Like I said, I've had two wedding ceremonies. This in the last really 3 weeks and pretty, fairly large. And every time I do, or most every time I do a wedding, I use a basic format that I go through, and I seem to always get comments. Good comments, and people wanting to talk to me about things that I said. And last night was no exception. There were several people that said how blessed they were, how it reminds them, how they wish that they could hear more messages like this. And so I thought, Lord, I talk about loving your wife and loving your spouse and doing what's right. I talk about that all the time, but from the pulpit, almost every Sunday, y'all know that I discuss it a lot. But we're gonna talk about specifically the role of marriage. And I want to say this before I begin, because no matter where you are, whether you're a widow or a widower, or whether you have been married for one day, or Mr. Jerry, have you 64 years or 65 years? 66 years. Wow. Miss Joy was 1 year old when she married him. Mr. Jerry was 100 when he got married. Not quite. So no matter where you are, you have adult children, grandchildren, friends, that they, I'm going to just tell you, and I'm going to be very blunt. Our view of marriage is screwed up badly. The view of marriage and the disrespect that marriage has, and how people view marriage in our society today is shameful. And we should stand up for what is right and honorable and respectful, and more importantly, for the truth. And whether our adult kids, our grandkids, our friends don't listen, and whether they get mad at us, I mean, we need to do it humbly and say, but we need to stand up for what is right and what God, this marriage is the first institution. It's the first thing that God put together and instituted and said, this is right. This is right for a man and a woman to be together and to commit their lives together and covenant together. It's the right thing to do. And for us to laugh about things and to turn our eyes away from things and to not, we're wrong. We're part of the problem. And I want us to be part of the solution. I want us to be part of the solution and take the gospel to our friends and family. And we can do that, and you don't have to be mean about it. You don't. Talk to them. Talk to your family members and to your friends and loved ones and say, can I just talk to you about this? And you know, part of the ceremony, I've never done one marriage ceremony that I don't read out loud Ephesians 5 verses 21 through whatever 31. I always do that. And I always say, this is what that means. Because not only, like Chelsea and Luke yesterday, not only did they need to hear that, it was most important for them to hear that as they enter into this. Because they're making, listen, not a covenant just with each other, a covenant with God, and, listen, a covenant with God's people, God's church. They were saying in front of all of God's people, that's why it's important to be at weddings. They're saying in front of God's people, I'm going to do this. So do you know what your responsibility? I'm just curious if y'all know. Everybody that was there last night, do you know what your responsibility is? What? Praying and holding accountable. If Chelsea, because Chelsea's part of our family, if she doesn't act right in her marriage, do you know what we need to do? Hello? Move in with, Rodney said, move in with them? Maybe so. Glenn's like, yeah, we're going to send Rodney. I'm not doing it. Yes, but basically, yes. Go to Chelsea and say, Chelsea, we need to talk. Do you know, and even though we are just getting to know Luke, I'm going to tell you this. There is, as my wife has painfully learned over 27 years, there is a method to my madness. Like when Luke showed up and I called him out, and that was part of this process for us to check him out. You guys are accountable to God. The weakest marriage in this congregation, in our church, is holding this church back. Do you know that? And I'm even for widows and widowers, if they need to act right and honor marriage. So last night was not anything different than many times before, and I've had several people come, and I was thankful. Listen, when they come and talk to me, and like Rebecca was with, I mean, not Rebecca, Kate, I can't remember my kids' names. When Kate was with me, and she hears these people come and say these things about marriage, I'm like, I'm glad about that. When we bring our children to these wedding ceremonies and they hear other people talk about godly marriage and what is a godly marriage and what is, that's good for, that's discipleship. That's how it's supposed to be done, right? And so for us to have loved ones, friends and family members, and us not standing up for marriage and being quiet about things, it is not right. It's not right. Now that doesn't mean they're going to listen to you or they're going to change. Or do you understand what I'm not talking about? I'm talking about us doing, making sure we are being responsible with what God has given us. In marriage, you want to know why the church is falling apart in America? I can tell you. Marriages are falling apart. You want to know why there's abortion still? Because marriages are not where they need to be. In the church, if we had a sanctity of marriage, we would have a sanctity of life. If we thought correctly about why God put a man and a woman together, the blessing that is, what is the, why are there families? Listen, having children, that's the most difficult thing you can do. It will wear you down. Praise the Lord. Amen? When you're wore down by your children and grandchildren, that's just the Lord pulling sin out of your lives. And the more wore down you are, it's probably because you got a lot of sin. I'm being honest with you. You know, Martin Luther, and I think he's exactly right, Martin Luther said the two greatest tools of sanctification that God brings into our lives is first is marriage, and second is children. And I absolutely, because children and your spouse and your children will flat show you the sin in your lives. Right? Amen? Is there, y'all, nobody's getting Pentecostal today. Last week, we had a couple wanting to burst forth, but not this week. So, the role of marriage. And I have people come to me last night. A sweet, dear couple, loved the Lord, was just talking to me and said, you know, in a lot of ways, I failed in my marriage. And the Lord's redeemed us and me and has helped our marriage. And he was, and with his wife standing right beside him. And they were like, thank you for saying it. For standing up and just saying it. Thank you. And I thought, man, I need to say this more clearly to our people. I believe it is why there are people that say that they have feel just like a failure in their marriage. It's because people don't really understand what God has called them, what God has, what's the intention of marriage. You know, Josh Thompson did such a wonderful job in Zoom, and last week was so good, where he was talking about, he's been talking about the cultural mandate and how God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. That's one of the mandates, and have dominion over the earth. That's the cultural mandate. That's the duty God has given us. And so he took us through the calling and then the fall. And then last week he talked about how God has redeemed that. And, you know, just like I reminded our group on Zoom, and if y'all didn't catch it, you missed it. You missed the blessing. And he said that God has called us to be fruitful and to have a spouse. But we so often tune in to the younger people, the childbearing age and all like that, when in the cultural mandate and being fruitful and multiply, it's for all of us. The mandate isn't over until he takes us home. And so you may think, what does that mean, bearing children? Well, yeah, that means that. But it also means opening your home, bringing people in, caring for folks, working with folks, being fruitful in your life, gospel with gospel purposes, being opening your home and helping people in this world that's hurting and broken. And listen, I'm going to tell you, look around. This is your cultural mandate right here. This is your church family. Look at these children around here. You guys need to be better spiritual aunts and uncles. Do you know how much it... Listen, Chelsea grew up in this church. It was her security. She was able to stand before her church last night. And this is part of the cultural mandate. We're a part of this. You don't have a right, and if you do, if you think this is your right to say, well, I'm coming in, I'm clocking out, I don't want to talk to anybody, I don't want to be a part of anybody, then you're wrong. You're wrong. That's why we're called, that's why Scripture calls us what? A family. And we call each other what? Brothers and sisters. That's right. It's right. It's biblical. And for us, like Friday night, I shared at our rehearsal dinner that this is for us to lose Chelsea and her to go to Savannah. This is the right way to lose people in a church, right? I know we kind of laughed about it, but I was being dead serious. I told Luke and Chelsea in front of everybody, I said, we're going to get married, you're going to go to Savannah, and I want a whole tribe of youngins. I want your quiver full. Amen? And we're all a part of that. It is just as important to be a part of these, let me say this. It is more important to be a part of these kids' lives and the younger families' lives here than going to the mission field. And for us to neglect this, we are wrong and we need to repent. And it's right. It's right for us to have these youngins and be in their lives and pray for them and push them and confront them. And if they don't like it and they get mad, oh well. Do you know how many people are mad at me constantly? I sometimes think my whole goal is to push my kids so hard that they're mad at me. So they're mad at me, so they love each other more. They're like, we got to gang up against Dad. Or he's going with. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take you all on. But you know what? It's all of us doing this together, walking together, right? I mean, some of you in this room have changed Calvin's diapers. And there, y'all know this? There are things that happen that mom and daddies don't know about. I don't. And look, honestly, which is wrong, I don't want to know. But when y'all find out, I hope y'all take matters and do what's right before God. And go to them. And us to your kids. Right? When you marry and you enter into marriage, and even before marriage, especially if you're a female of the female persuasion, then at like 10, you already have your marriage planned out. You know, it's funny. Oh, never mind. Yeah, they start planning their marriages early. I'm like, isn't there a component that's missing? And they're like, what? What do you mean? All we need is a hill and a white dress and wind blowing through the dress. And I'm like, what about a husband? Oh, yeah, we need that too. What he is going to be, or she is going to be, and how we have these preconceived notions and ideas entering in, and how it's going to be like, and what it's going to be like, and where do we get these thoughts? Mainly from our own history. Every one of us in this room has a family history. We learn from our own families. Sadly enough, from media, films, TV, books, sadly, music. We also learn from friends. What we can gain from these things, we need to, but we need to take these ideas and we need to help train each other. And I know you're sitting here going, I don't want to hear this. But you have people in your life right now that you're concerned about. And I don't care how old they are. That you're concerned about, that you need to talk to, but we need to take these thoughts and ideas and say to them, how does this thought that you have line up with the Word of God? Right? Because people have thoughts about marriage or not marriage. I'll just live with them, or We'll just be boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever. I don't even know what you call that stuff anymore. I'm getting too old and cranky for all that. But can I tell you, and young people, hear me, and y'all that are sitting here, because you need to be able to say this to your family and friends. When you look at Scripture to see what are the characteristics and responsibilities and guidelines of why you should marry and fulfill this calling in their lives, I see nothing, not one thing in Scripture that says, oh, he or she, they're fun. They make me laugh. I think that's good. But that's not a reason to marry. How about the way they look? Man, they look good. How about their intelligence? How about their toughness or the power or money? Are the stuff they have, positions, prestige, convenience. None of these things, I could go on and on and on. None of these things are reasons and callings for marriage. So where do we get this in this passage? Dying to ourselves. Loving our person to that we are either going to be married to or that God is calling us to marry, loving them. And I tell my children, we talk about this, whether they really know what I'm saying and can get it, that I talked to Kate, who is 14, about being faithful to her husband now. Now, loving her husband now, starting to love him right now, and starting to pray. And she'll laugh. She thinks it's funny, and we will actually laugh together. But I'll say to her, sweetheart, you need to start asking the Lord to help you love your husband now, because he's going to be hard to love. There's going to be a lot of times you're not going to feel very loving. Now, I know Miss Joy has felt very loving to Jerry for 65 years, right? She was here, she'd tell you. 66 years. Isn't that right, Rick? So we see this, and I tell her, honey, you need to pray that you will love your husband and do what's right. So I'm gonna lay out these guidelines that you have heard so many times before from me, from this, but we're going to put it all together today, and we're going to do this. And it does not matter to me how many times you've read this, gone through this. I want you to have your Bibles open, and we are going to look at this together, okay? I don't care if you've even had a Bible study and you've written about this. Open your Bibles. We're going to look at this together. Starting in verse 21, we're going to look and we're going to go down to verse 24. So 21 through 24, it says this. Submit to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. In what? everything. That doesn't mean most things or some things, in everything. All right? Be subject to one another. Be subject, wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, like you will hear me say, I'm about to connect the dots for you all the time. Don't tell me how much you love Jesus and you don't love your spouse. Okay? That's part of the problem. If you want to know why there's a submission problem in the church, and that you will hear people say all the time, we don't like to talk about submission, we don't do this, we don't do this. You know why? Is because we don't know how to submit to the Lord. You don't submit to the Lord, you're not going to submit to your spouse. Amen? You want to know why the church, that's why I said from the very beginning, you want to know why the church is in shambles? We don't submit to the Lord. Submit unto your husband as what? Well, who's ready to give up, stand up and give testimony of all the great submission in your marriage? Right? Listen to me. Love Jesus most and die to yourself. Men are selfish. Women are manipulators. Learn to submit to each other in the Lord. Love each other. Submit to each other. Women, this is an act of beauty and worship. If you can do this, you can be as that Proverbs 31 woman in, I think it's 31 verse 23, where your husband is praised at the gate. Where people will look up to your husband and go, man, because you know what? It's a wonderful, amazing thing to see a loving wife who submits rightly to her husband. Not out of fear, not out of being beaten down. That's not the type of submission that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a submit that she's showing so much honor to her husband. You know why? Because her husband's not a knucklehead and does so many selfish things, and it's not all about him, that people start seeing this beautiful thing that happens between a husband and a wife. Submission. Submitting to one another. Beth is a God-fearing, Holy Spirit-filled believer. Why would I not want to listen to her? Why would I make any decision ever without Beth? Hello, men? Repent. Why would I ever make a decision without asking my wife? If I trust that, if I am looking at my wife and going, you know what? She loves Jesus, not perfectly, because I know her, right? But she loves Jesus. I've seen evidence over and over and over again in her life Why don't I go to her? I'm a knucklehead if I don't. Right? Just like I'm a knucklehead if I don't go to other men in our body and go, hey, can I ask you a question? I'm dealing with this. What do you think about this? Let me tell you, I'm trying not to say dumb or stupid because those are bad words, okay? So I'm using knucklehead, okay? Yeah, shh, Jason, don't say that. That's a bad, listen, those are bad words. They are, okay? But you are a knucklehead if you make decisions by yourself. You don't have to. You have a loving, caring family of faith. Let's talk to each other. Let's confer to each other. Let's discuss these things together. We love each other. We care about each other. Do you know what that would do if we started really going to each other and saying, hey, what do I do about this situation? What do you think about this? And you know what that would do? First of all, I hope and pray it would foster prayer, right? That we would look at each other and go, man, that's a tough, can we pray, let's pray about this. Can we talk about, do you have to make a decision right now? I mean, I kind of laughed about this and we were joking about it. It's not funny, but it is kind of funny. Diane, happy birthday, Diane, by the way. Diane's 70 years old. Well, you should have lied to me if you didn't want me to tell everybody. Okay, she doesn't lie. She's 70 years old. Happy birthday, Diane. So, Diane said, should I buy another freezer or should I buy another refrigerator? And should I do? But you know what? I was sitting there going, praise the Lord. Let's talk about that, right? What's the best way to, what is best? And she said, I called somebody and they gave me some tips on what not to buy and what to buy. And Beth even goes, huh, that's interesting. And I was sitting there going, that's a family, right? Let's talk about these things, no matter how small they are, no matter how big they are. We talked about a lot of big things too. But why don't we do that? And if we can learn how to do that with each other, we will definitely get better doing that with our spouse. Amen? Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Trusting and going to each other. Honoring each other. Respecting each other. And if we don't know how to submit to the Lord, we won't submit to each other. All right, so that's the first thing, submission. Second thing is sacrificial love. I'm doing this generically. You know, in Ephesians, it has the wife's roles and the male's roles. But the truth is, it's Christians' marriage roles. It's for both of us. And I don't mean R-O-L-L-S. I mean, roles as in our, not roles you eat, but roles that He has given us. R-O-L-E. So, your sacrificial love, verse 25. So, submission is one. Secondly is sacrificial love. It says this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. Okay. How do we love each other as Christ has loved the church, meaning His redeemed people, meaning the people He died for, meaning the people that He has covered their sins, He has redeemed. How is that even possible? How is it possible for me, as much as I love Beth, to love her as Christ loved the church? How is it to love as Christ did? No one here, not one person, and no one you have ever known, not dear Irene Smith, not any of our loved ones, no one deserves salvation. Nobody has ever deserved the Lord to forgive them. And nobody deserves the joy of knowing our Creator. God condescended. He came to us because we weren't going to go to Him. So a husband and wife that love each other, that sacrifice for each other, why is it that we are so against each other? If Christ could love you and me, if Jesus could love us, let me tell you this, you can love your spouse. And as you talk to your loved ones, as you talk to that, listen, it may be an indication that they're not in the Lord. If you can say to them, listen, if Christ can love and forgive you, then you, believe me, because what He had to condescend, what He had to stoop, what He had to do to forgive you, you definitely, it doesn't matter what he or she has said or done, you can forgive them. Do you hear me? The problem is you're not really looking at how ugly you are. I don't want to hear the excuses. Don't talk to me about how mean he is or how ugly she is to me, or the question is this, do you love Jesus most? Do you understand how much He has forgiven you? He or she may be wrong, but no more wrong than you have been. Don't lose this perspective. Total depravity. We need to understand our depraved hearts, right? To learn how to love each other. Why you explain away, or people explain away their marriage, or why they don't get married, or why they're not staying married, or, and you hear all kind of things. Man, I know Beth and I hear it all. We hear all kind of stuff. They're selfish. They only think about themselves. They don't ever think about me. I don't feel the same way as I did. I mean, I can just give you a list of things when the bottom line is this. You don't love Jesus most. Do y'all hear me? Husband, wife, grandparent, widow, widower, whoever you're talking to, Scripture is not commanding us to love our wife because she deserves it. Or he deserves it. Do you hear me? I don't love Beth because she deserved it. I love Beth because Christ loved me. She's my spouse. It's right for me to love her. Isn't that what Christ did with us? When you choose to love someone who has lost the appeal, the edge, let me tell you the secret. When you choose to love someone who is not as great as you may have thought he was or she was once, you have found the secret of real love. When you can tap into that, into a Christ-abiding love for someone, deep love, you have found what real love is about. I'm about to give you some examples. Loving as Christ loves does not depend on what others are in themselves, but entirely on what we are in Christ. That's a quote from Dr. Sproul. I'm going to say it again to you. Loving as Christ loves does not depend on what others are in themselves, but entirely on what Christ, but entirely on what we are in Christ. This is true spiritual maturity. Having an understanding of who you are in the depths of your depravity and how Christ has loved you, and for you to learn to love correctly and rightly shows deep spiritual maturity. When love is always conditional, it's always because of a spiritual immature heart. That doesn't mean to dismiss all the good qualities of a person or to not look at the bad qualities. What it means is to learn how to love as Christ loved. This is your partner. This is the person that He has given you to practice on. So what does that mean for those who are single? Well, believe me, He's given you people in your life to practice with. To learn to love that person with a Christ-centered love. When I love Beth better, I learn about Christ loving me better. Right? And when I learn how to love like this, I learn how to love better with everybody else. If everything was taken away that you liked in your spouse or in a person, you should still love. I'm going to give you an example. Y'all have heard me talk about this. Beth probably already knows the example I'm going to give. Beth went to high school, graduated with a couple that Mike and Renee Sally, and they were not in the Lord in high school, and they came to know the Lord out of high school while they were in college, just like Beth. And so we've had, when we first got married, it was just, they were in our wedding. Beth and her room together in college, and just they were very close. Beth kind of grew up with them in a way, and they got married, had kids, had three girls, Renee got a brain tumor. And the doctors were very confident that they could remove it and it was going to be okay and everything was going to be fine. And we were praying. And it was while we were still here at New Hope. And we were praying for Renee and for this procedure. And well, things didn't go right. Matter of fact, it didn't go right even a little bit. And Renee recovered, but she was constantly like a 3 or 4 year old child. And we watched Mike take care of Renee, instilled like a baby. She would never be the Renee that he married. Was she homecoming queen? Beautiful, they, you know, beautiful family, beautiful girls in the Lord, grew up it. I mean, they, God just blessed them like crazy. And she had a brain tumor, went south, and Mike served her, would bathe her, and dress her, and feed her, and still does. Even though all of those qualities that he fell in love with, whether biblical or not or whatever, were gone. That's Christ loving the church, isn't it? Sacrifice. 26 and 27, purifying love. So we see submission, we see sacrifice. Now we see purifying love. Verse 26 and 27. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her with the washing of water by the word. That he might present to her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. When you love someone, you want their purity. You don't want to drag someone down. When you have a brother in Christ, for me, brothers to brothers, we don't want to drag each other down into impurity. We want to build each other up to follow Christ, right? Encourage each other to be more godly men, to be godly fathers, to be godly friends. We don't want to pull each other down, right? So why would we not want to help our spouses be pure and honorable and respectful? Why we want them to not be defiled. We want to help them with anger, with not doing right with their money, with their time, with their, you know, whatever it is, whatever is going on in their lives. We want them to think rightly, to do what's right, to be pure in their goals and in their life goals and what is happening. And Lord, what do you want? We don't want them to have bad theology, right? We don't want to have bad theology in here, right? To hold each other accountable, to say, wait. Listen, it's not COVID that killed Irene Smith. God had an appointed date. God alone is the one who gives life. And God alone is the one who takes life, right? Let's have good theology. Let's walk together. Let's talk about these things. Let's look at each other and say, no, that's not right. Do you do that in your marriage? But let me ask you this. Do we do that in our relationships in the body of Christ? Stop thinking like this. It's wrong. Purifying love. That we love each other enough to talk about these things. That we don't just turn a blind eye. That we don't say, no, don't say anything. That we look at each other and love each other enough to talk about these things. And if I get mad at you, you have to forgive me. Right? If Angie got mad at y'all, any of y'all yesterday, Glenn, y'all have to forgive her. Rodney. He said, But I'm just, listen, this is my point. We are a family. We're a family. God has called us and appointed us and brought us here. This is our family. We're going to learn to love each other rightly, respect each other, forgive each other. We're going to do it. And we don't want each other to have bad theology. Right? Purifying love with the Word. Purifying. All right. Caring love. 28 and 29. I'm trying to wrap this up. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. When your bodies need something, you try to meet it. When your wife or your husband needs something, try to meet it. When you see somebody in the body of Christ, in our family, in our friends, that need, try to meet it, right? Try to meet it. Caring love. Don't just give zingers and Twinkies and Snickers. Give them meat and potatoes. Substance. Nourish each other. If you are a godly man, you will want your wife to be a godly woman. If you're a godly woman, you'll want your husband to be a godly man. If you are a godly person, listen to me. If you're a godly person, you're going to want people around you to know the truth and be godly, right? But if you're immature, you just worry about yourself. You just think about you. Caring love cares about each other and wants each other to grow and be nourished and understand. Don't shove each other into the cold. 30 and 31, it's an unbreakable love. It says this, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and join to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It's an unbreakable love. You should leave. It's right to leave and cleave. Angie, do you hear that? Where's Angie? Angie, it's right that Chelsea's going to Savannah. Leave and cleave. To be one flesh. For us to encourage that. For us to teach that. For us, That, you know, I often try to do this. It's very difficult in our day and age, but I often will have both the groom's mom and dad stand and the bride's mom and dad stand and say, do you, not just to the bride, but do you give your son, promising to pray, promising to do this? Because it's time for them to leave and cleave together and to be married together. Promise to pray, promise to do this. The truth is, I should add one more component, the church, right? I should. I every time I do it, I think, man, I should make, after I do that and sit the parents, I should say, if you are a Christian believer, stand up. Boy, that would put everybody on notice, wouldn't it? I think about it all the time. I'm sitting there going, do I do it? Do I do it? Like tempting myself and say, do you, church, promise to pray for them and trust the Lord? And do you promise to do this? It should be an unbreakable love that we should stand up for this union between husband and wife, and we should say nothing. We teach that nothing comes between that. Not family, not children, not money, and definitely not another person. Right? Husband and wife, one flesh. And as a church, we should proclaim that and say, we're not all about this living together. It's wrong. This is not respectful to the Lord. It's not right, and it will never be right. It's one of those things when the kids come to you or come to me, and they want to try to tell you why they want, and you're like, it doesn't matter. There's no way you can convince me that it's okay to live together. It's wrong. And it's against God. And it's against what God instituted. Right? Verses 32 and 33, and we're done. It says this. This is a great mystery. That's what Paul says. You're right, Paul. This union, this submission, this sacrifice, this caring love, this unbreakable love, you're right. It's a great mystery. That may be one of the most understated statements in all of Scripture, right? Amen? It is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. It is a great mystery. How one woman can love one man and one man love one woman and do it biblically, that's a miracle, is it not? Only through Christ will this be done. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only through us dying to ourselves. Listen, your life, who you are, And definitely your marriage is either a symbol of the gospel or it's a rejection of the gospel. You hear this, you hear us talk about this, there's really no neutrality in Christ. When a Christian husband and wife yield to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, their marriage will be a witness to this dark world. And you know what? When a man and a woman do it this way, they find joy. When they do it this way, they will find a deep joy like they won't understand. It's like, I read this passage yesterday. Y'all may not remember. I know Angie doesn't remember. She were you even there yesterday, Angie? But it's like Ecclesiastes. It's like the preacher says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that this cord of three strands is not torn apart quickly. Christ in Luke and Chelsea, Christ in me and Beth, Christ, that's what makes the cord of three so strong, right? That we can stand against the world. Why wouldn't I want a teammate? A real teammate. A helpmate. Walking together. Finding joy, deep, deep joy in that. I love you guys. I want us to be a biblical church. And part of the way of doing that is for us to stand up together and say, we believe this. Matter of fact, this right here is a fall on your sword passage. We believe this so severely that we will not falter on these issues. We believe in the sanctity of marriage, right? I want us to walk together in this because listen to me. We are going down roads in America that the sanctity of marriage is attacked on every side. And listen, as I look around, it's in all of our families. Every one of us here. Right now, you're thinking about family members right now that you're sitting there going, it's not right. What they're doing is not right. Y'all, right? Right now, you're thinking, we need to lovingly, humbly, with broken hearts, contritely, go and take this gospel message to them. You listen, now you've been equipped. Guess what that means? I hate to tell y'all this. Now you're going to be accountable before God. And don't think he's going to turn a blind eye to it. If this is the first institution that he established, do you think he's going to say, well, Brandon, why didn't you go to so-and-so and talk to them about this? Hello? All right, I'm going to pray. We're going to... I love you guys. Let's stand up. Let's do it together. Listen, two orders. You have to get leftovers today, and you have to help us pick up tables and chairs. Load up tables and chairs. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this passage. Encourage us. Strengthen us. Lord, I pray for every marriage in this church that you would help strengthen it, that it would be a gospel witness to this world, that people would see us love each other and respect each other and serve each other and sacrifice for each other rightly, that people would see this in the world and go, what's going on? What's happening? Lord, do this work, not for our sake, but for your sake, for your kingdom, for your name. Lord, for you, do this, please. And Lord, for those in our family, Lord, we have family members right now, Lord, that we need to talk to. Help us, Lord. Help us to be obedient. Help us to do it with a broken heart. Do it truthfully. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray for Luke and Chelsea. Lord, they hadn't even been married 24 hours. They probably have already gotten in a fight. Lord, I pray that you fill them with your Spirit. You help them to love each other like you are calling us to love each other. To do it rightly. Lord, I pray for all the marriages here. Grant repentance. Lord, there's some men that need to go home today and repent. There's some women that need to repent today. Lord, grant us the grace and the strength to do that to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.